On today's show, we've got five questions for the rest of the NBA season. Like, are the Charlotte Hornets' playoff chances done? Will Joel Embiid's knee carry Philadelphia to the finals? Will Drew Holiday and his new massive deal, what an agent, get Giannis and the Bucks a championship? Hey, I'm Tass Mellis, and this is what you need to know in the NBA for Monday, April 5th. What's up, everybody? When we hit the end of March Madness, that usually means the lay of the land is all clear in the NBA. The playoffs are just mere days away. These strange times, though, things are different. The NCAA groundhog has seen its shadow, and we've got six more weeks before the playoffs. Yes, I wrote that. Still, so many questions to answer. Here are five I will be watching. First, how will Joel Embiid's knee hold up? Joel Embiid is having his best season, even though he just missed 3 weeks with a bone bruise in that knee. While watching Embiid thrust the air over and over and over in his return on Saturday, it was a great celebration. I couldn't help but notice that bulky knee brace. Also, he commented on it after the game. I'm not saying I'm a genius over here. He mentioned it. That thing is big, and it's bugging him. And his injury concerns should bug Sixers fans. Even though they're tied atop the East with the Nets, despite Embiid missing over a third of his team's games, he will not get a break in the playoffs. They wouldn't recover from an Embiid hiatus or poor play from him. It's his best season, but also heightened expectations and the most responsibility because of his incredible play, where he has carried the team. If Embiid is going to get to his first Eastern Conference Finals, he'll have to carry Philly game in and game out. He has never done that for multiple series. The hope is Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons will pick up the slack, but the team is riding Embiid, full stop. He sat Sunday a day after returning because it was a back-to-back. Rest. Fine. But if they do get to a conference finals, and if it is the Nets, he will absolutely have no rest defensively with the five offensive weapons Brooklyn has aligned in their starting lineup. There's a reason the Sixers include provisions in his contract which reduce his pay if he has certain injuries. There are worries there. He's missed plenty of time throughout his career. Can't wait to find out how he carries his team. Next up, sticking at the top of the East, will Drew Holiday be what the Bucks need to take them over to the top? Drew Holiday signed a massive four-year extension over the weekend. Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. That's the Bucks core for the foreseeable future and for Giannis's prime, whatever a prime is anyway. After the contract extension kicks in next season, the Bucks will be just $7 million under the cap after their big three are paid. So this is it. This is who they got. If the Bucks are going to be more than just a very good team that doesn't win the whole thing, Holiday is going to have to step up to be the one who makes it happen. The Bucks offense continuously gets stuck during their playoff runs, and Holiday can be that defense buster that they need. He's shown he can be that one to make shots when he's called upon, like he did in the 2018 playoffs when he and Anthony Davis led the Pelicans over the Blazers, and he showed it in games like Saturday, dropping 33 without Giannis in the lineup. That's the guy they need. But he's going to have to do it way more often than he has in previous playoff performances, because Giannis will eventually meet that postseason wall that he runs into over and over and over again in the lane. Holiday's contract is 4 years, $135 million guaranteed, plus $25 million in bonuses. What an agent! When I saw the headlines at 4 years, $160 mil, that's $40 million per year. It's how they wrote it in the headlines to look juicier. I didn't even bat an eye. Side question. Beside these five questions that we're getting to today, what number would make me bat an eye? I think it's anything over $200 million. The years always get me when I see a big baseball signing, but the numbers, as far as the millions go in basketball, don't get me anymore. I've become numb to it. Anyway, millions on millions on millions. This is Holiday's 12th season in the league. He ain't a young buck. Unintended pun right there. His contract will run from age 31 to age 35 for him. On paper, that expensive paper, he is the type of guy that can help Giannis get there. Now this great guy has a chance to do it in the playoffs. To the West, will Rajon Rondo be the key to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George closing out games? Somewhat similarly to Milwaukee, the Clippers' offense can be very predictable to end games, and it can get stagnant, dry, like toast. They can fall flat. And Rondo, well, he is the opposite of predictable. Relying on him too much, though, might be a mistake at this point of his career, but I can definitely see a scenario where he comes off the bench to start games, but finishes games next to Kawhi and Paul George. He got one game in with the Clippers this past weekend, and after just one game, Paul George had this to say about he and Kawhi and how they could benefit from Rondo. Quote, "I think we can reserve more energy. I relate it to the relationship I have with Russell Westbrook. Russ created a lot of closeout situations for me, and so it'll be the same thing with Rondo. Rondo can get to the middle of the paint, he can make plays, and a lot of times he's going to create closeout situations for us," end quote. In theory, it makes sense. In practice, when teams are laying off Rondo or he's having an off night finishing, when he takes that space and drives to the hole, well, it can backfire. Can't wait to see if Ty Lue will play with that fire and test out how much Rondo can help in late game situations. Next up, are the Hornets' playoff chances shot? I think it's time to let out a teal tear. It's unfortunate. The Jordan meme, it's overused, but this is the perfect time to roll it, JD. Yeah, there it is. First, it was LaMelo Ball's broken wrist, but more importantly, now Gordon Hayward is out. Their actual best player, not just their internet best player. He's out at least 4 weeks with a foot sprain. Could be more. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. These two injuries are going to be too much to overcome. At least for the locked-in spots, the top six spots in the conference. That seems out of question in the East, considering that they are sixth right now. But they still have a good shot at making the play-in tournament. And come to think of it, that's where they belong, right? They're a play-in tournament kind of team. They'll be incredibly fun in single-elimination matchups. North Carolina is a college basketball state. They will hopefully have Hayward and Ball back for that. So maybe it's meant to be this way. Thanks, NCAA Groundhog. Yeah, back to that guy. Look, this hurts. These injuries definitely hurts. They have all the tools to be everyone's second favorite team. The dunks, the announcers, the flashiness, the uniforms, the small marketedness, definitely not a word. But because it's the East, they can still be our play-in tournament team. They can still get there. All right, last question here today. In the East, are there any legitimate Eastern Conference threats outside the top three of Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee? The West has players up and down the standings. The LAs, Utah, Phoenix, MVP candidates sit fourth and sixth in the standings in Jokic and Lillard. But the East is far different. It's different, but not in a good way. It's a major glut from 4 to 8 or 9. No one can pull away into home court advantage because no one has been good enough. The inexperienced Hawks are in the 4 seed right now. They're playing well. The experienced Heat are 5th. They just scrape by. They will hang with the greats of the conference. But I think the team with the highest ceiling still sits in 8th. The Celtics. I'm holding out hope. They're better than their record, even if they're just 500 and down in the standings. There was a glimmer this past weekend. There's a glimmer of hope when Kemba Walker made that gorgeous wraparound pass to Jaylen Brown out at the three-point line. All the hearts in Boston swelled, and so did the objective basketball fans, because the Boston Celtics have the potential. Will Kemba Walker be able to play to that potential? That's a huge question. They haven't been able to find it yet, but they could be good. Maybe that glimmer was in Kemba Walker's smile when he and Jaylen Brown shared a little moment after that pass. It was wonderful. They've injected a little youth into their lineup with Robert Williams and Romeo Langford. They are an enigma, but there is still time to get it together, especially in the Eastern Conference. How much time? 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Of course, there are more questions to be answered, but we'll start there. We'll continue with some winners and losers on the No Dunks Daily Show. What happened over the weekend? We will get to that. I'll be back with you tomorrow to give you the news as fast as I possibly can. I'll talk to you then.